Welcome to Innovation Alberta, a celebration of science, research, and the inventive spirit. I'm Cheryl Croucher. The launch of a new research chair is always an exciting event at the universities, and the one just established for Dr. Suresh Shah, a computer scientist and engineer at the University of Alberta, is the result of a collaboration between the oil sands industry, academia, and government. And the Aztec Awards this year will recognize biochemist Dr. Cyril Kay. That's for his contributions to the development of Alberta's science and technology community. These stories coming up in the next half hour on Innovation Alberta. Data mining is at the heart of the research of Dr. Suresh Shah, a professor at the University of Alberta. So important is his work, several companies and institutions have come together to support a research chair for him. It's called the NSERC Matricon Suncor I-Core Industrial Research Chair in Computer Process Control. Indeed, it's a mouthful to say, but the results of Dr. Shah's research will benefit a host of fields, from oil sands extraction to the diagnosis of disease. Dr. Randy Gable is the president and CEO of I-Core, the Informatics Circle of Research Excellence. I spoke to Randy at the official launch of this new industrial research chair.
I think two things are important. The first thing is kind of obvious. It's really nice to confirm yet another industrial research chair in the province of Alberta, where Alberta industry steps up and confirms their support, not just as a contribution of charity, but as a partnership to take informatics and technology and make it work in their business. That's one thing. The second thing is that it shows that when we can remove the boundaries that the universities create between disciplines, for example, engineering and science and medicine, and within those disciplines, the department boundaries, when we remove them, we get a really exciting combination and catalyst of people working together. So Suresh Shah working with computer scientists doing machine learning, working with the people that he's come in contact through them, doing NMR spectroscopy, just exciting to see those kinds of things.
Well, you actually referred to this as being a platform technology, what Dr. Shah is working on. What did you mean by that?
Suresh's work in traditional engineering process control is moving up the mathematical abstraction hierarchy to connect with artificial intelligence and machine learning and computer science, for example. And so it's become a component that is the platform for dealing with large volumes of information. We're pretty good at generating sensors which can sense things and generate information, but like the analogy of drinking from a fire hose, we need tools that domain experts understand to compress the data in that fire hose down to the point where you can actually sample it, turn on the faucet, take a glass of it, look at the glass, turn it off, and make decisions in all of those areas from chemical process control, extraction of bitumen, medical interventions. For example, you mentioned cardiac care and viral diseases of the lungs, for example, to be able to identify those and to control and intervene in both bitumen extraction and health is the same thing. So the platform is the groundwork to do all of those things.
You're also working in machine learning. So when you take Dr. Shah's work, the type of thing that you're doing as well, what does this really hold for the future?
One of the nice combinations between computer science and chemical and process engineering, especially in control engineering, is that they've always worked at two sides of a signal domain, that is digital signals, data, and analog signals, signal processing, reducing noise, and finding signal in noise. And the combination of them together is really exciting because we learn from each other, and both of us get better because the computer scientists get better at understanding signal processing, and the signal processors get better at this much larger domain of knowledge, which once digitized applies everywhere. So that's the exciting part for me.
What's I-Core's part in all of this?
Well, I-Core has two roles. I'm trying to make sure it has two roles. One role of I-Core is as a sort of a financial instrument of the provincial government to take an allocation of money from innovation and science and to focus it for increasing research capacity in the province in these areas. The other thing that's becoming much more evident and for me a lot more exciting is what I refer to as the I-Core Academy. and that is having a collection of scientists who are starting to talk to each other without those discipline boundaries. So when I walk into an iCorps scientist's laboratory as a computer scientist, I get in the door as the funding agency, and I come out as a collaborator in research. And that's really exciting to see that develop. And it's happening because if I go into a lab and say a computer scientist, for example, can work with a physicist, then a biologist can go into a lab and work with a process control guy, for example. So that's really exciting.
Thank you very much, Randy.
You're welcome.
That was Dr. Randy Gable, President and CEO of iCorps, the Informatics Circle of Research Excellence. Also on hand for the launch of this new chair in computer process control was Dr. Nigel Lloyd. Nigel is the Executive Vice President of NSERC, the Natural Sciences and Engineering Research Council of Canada.
Well, we're interested in creating partnerships between universities and the private sector so that the wonderful discoveries that occur in the universities get put to good use for the benefit of Canadians.
Now, it's been referred to today, the work that Dr. Shaw is doing, as being a platform technology. How would you see that being applied, even though what he's doing here right now is being applied in the oil sands area, as being applied into different areas?
Well, as I understand it, and I'm certainly not an expert in his subject, he does industrial process control, and that applies to almost every kind of industry, trying to optimize different systems, make them more efficient, make them more economical. So it has applications almost everywhere.
I see the NSERC name everywhere in terms of research chairs and grants to students to help them get their work done. But how do you take all of this information, all of this knowledge that they're gathering, and get it out into the real world where people can use it?
Well, that's exactly what we have to do. I think we do a really good job in Canada of doing basic research, creating new knowledge. Where we have to work a little harder is to actually put that to use for the benefit of Canadians. And that's where the Industrial Research Chair Program comes in. I think we've now supported over 200 such chairs across the country. And this is the way that results get transferred to the private sector, because the company has bought into the importance of working closely with university professors and graduate students, and it's often the graduate students that end up being transferred to the private sector and being hired by them in the long run, and they bring with them the knowledge and the technology that can be put to use. So this is how it happens on the ground floor, if you like, in terms of getting discoveries to work so that all Canadians can benefit from them.
How easy is it getting all of these different sectors together at the table to agree to fund a research chair?
It can be a challenge. There are some companies in some sectors where they seem to have a natural affinity for universities, and the linkages are relatively easy to build. In other sectors, it just hasn't been the practice in the past, and that's where we have to work a little bit harder to let them know that we can help them. Sometimes they just don't know that.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
That was Dr. Nigel Lloyd, Executive Vice President of NSERC, the Natural Sciences and Engineering Research Council of Canada. Another sponsor of the Industrial Research Chair in Computer Process Control is Suncor Energy. Mark Shaw is the Vice President of Extraction for Suncor's oil sands operations in northern Alberta.
We're one of the industrial partners that supports the research and aims to implement the outcomes of this research.
How will you use it?
We'll use it to help improve the process control of our facilities to further improve our business.
If you take that on a monetary basis, what could it mean in terms of improved efficiencies?
Even fractions of a percentage point of an improvement in efficiency in our business relates to millions of dollars a year. So we're quite sure that this is worth millions of dollars to Suncor.
What kind of problems are you facing right now?
I think our biggest challenge today is with the growth of our industry, there's more and more demands on people in our facilities and across the province. So every time that we can find ways to do things more efficiently, we can also meet the energy demands of the country, but also make life easier for the people that work at our facility.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was Mark Shaw, Vice President of Extraction for Suncor Energy. Getting the discoveries of Dr. Suresh Shah's lab into the hands of industry depends on the commercialization process. That's where the IT company Matricon comes in. Mike Brown is the Vice President of Technology at Matricon.
Yeah, Matricon is part of a three-way partnership, and we're one of the three partners. And what we do is we provide in-kind support and contribution to take the research that's basically being developed by University of Alberta graduate students and ensure that it can be commercialized and deployed in industry in a way that it can be basically delivered as quickly and as efficiently as possible. So a lot of research has trouble making its way, or it takes a long time to wake its way to industry in a very productive fashion, and our job is really to be that middleman to accelerate that whole process so that companies can get value of it much faster.
How would you actually do that? Because this is dealing a lot with data mining.
Well, I think what happens is university students and universities are very good at developing algorithms and code programs. And when you look at companies such as Suncor and whatnot, they have control systems and they have systems in place that really only work with commercially and commercially developed products and commercially developed software. And this is really what we do. We actually take that code, we take that research, and get it into platforms, get it into computer systems, get it into the technology that is resident already inside these manufacturing facilities so that it can actually be implemented.
What do you find is unique or innovative about the research that Dr. Shaw is involved with?
Yeah, the unique thing is the recognition that the amount of data that we have around these plants is growing at an exponential rate. And the people we're trying to get to run these plants is going down as well. Probably not exponentially, but linearly at least. And we got a little bit of a bottleneck there, a challenge. And really the innovation here is about taking all of that data and figuring out how to automatically let the computers and let the systems do the crunching, do the processing, so that you can really turn that data into knowledge, that the knowledge can be acted upon. And making the knowledge actionable is really where the secret is when you now deliver it to industry.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That was Mike Brown, Vice President of Technology with Matricon. The man behind the data mining research is Dr. Suresh Shah. A professor at the University of Alberta, Suresh now holds the NSERC Matricon Suncor ICOR Industrial Research Chair in Computer Process Control.
It means, first of all, a continuity of funding in a very exciting area of research. In an area where my students and I, feel that there is a lot of potential. And the area is exciting in the sense that it is concerned with data mining, or what is sometimes known as data fusion or information fusion, which really means you collect data from many different sources and you put it all together. Some of the data may not have time steps. The data may have different units, calibrations, and there may be missing data and so on. You put the data together so that it all makes sense. And then you dig for information in this data. And it's amazing how much information you can get out of a data set if you look carefully. Syncrude, as an example, archives or measures 30,000 sensors each minute, and they log them. Just imagine, at the end of each day, they will have gigabytes of data. And all of this data is a tremendous resource if it is used carefully. If you look for information, you can discover cause and effect relationships. You can get a model of a process. You know when things are running smoothly, you know when things are not running smoothly, and you want to find out why and how to make things run well all the time. The nice thing, Cheryl, the nice thing is that data analysis does not just allow you to work in the oil and gas industry, but you can also extend these same ideas, use these same ideas in other areas. In the area of bioinformatics, we're also analyzing NMR data, nuclear magnetic resonance imaging data, in the analysis of blood and urine samples. These are very long data sets. And the nice thing about NMR data is that if you inject a urine sample, you can instantaneously get the results. In these samples, we're looking for biomarkers which will give you indications of the disease. For example, three pulmonary diseases of the lungs, asthma, pneumonia, and bronchitis. They're very similar diseases. Sometimes it's hard even for trained physicians to know who has what. We are saying that if you have NMR data, you may be able to separate, classify the diseases, particularly for young infants. So these are very preliminary results, and we hope that we are able to develop procedures which will make this an analysis tool.
With so much data available there, how do you do this in a simple and efficient way? Is that something you're working on?
Yes, we have what we call, we've developed a data visualization and analysis tool. What you see here, we recognize that it's hard for people to look at numeric data. So we turn data into color maps, such as the one that's on the slideshow. And these color maps, just like, you know, a picture is worth 1,000 words, we say a picture is worth 1,000 sensors. It'll allow you to look at, discover interrelationships between variables easily. Here is a picture matrix that will work for you, may work for you. So we are finding out that there are better ways of analyzing data than just looking at numbers. Okay, you crunch the data. So then instead of looking at 1,000 variables, you look at very few virtual variables, which are essentially health indices of the process or the plant or the person, for that matter.
You have a lot of collaborators or partners in this research chair, and your funding, I believe, is for the next 5 years. What do you hope to do or accomplish through this next period?
Our most interesting venture right now is the development of a new sensor which allows one to measure the interface level between froth bitumen and middlings at Suncor, in the separation vessel at Suncor. We've developed this image-based soft sensor which hopefully will be able to now instantaneously measure the interface level. If that is successful, we can hopefully improve bitumen recovery significantly to the point that more oil will flow. Suncor and other companies will be able to recover more oil, but just as importantly, less bitumen will be lost in the tar sand, in the tailing ponds. See, less bitumen in the tailing ponds is a major environmental coup. It's a win-win situation, and really would have a significant impact on the bottom line at Suncor operation. And if this works, this idea can be replicated to 8 or 10 separation cells that they have at Suncor.
Data mining is such a new field, at least to people like me. What got you interested in this? How did you get involved in it?
You know, we started work on this almost 10, 15 years ago. Having been involved in the process control area and knowing this field of system identification, we knew that we always had access to a lot of data all the time. And after we had exhausted, you know, the identification and the control opportunities that were available, we felt, what more can we do in this data? The nice thing about data mining is that it applies everywhere. It applies to the oil and gas industry. It applies to the retail industry. Walmart and other companies are using data mining tools, but it also applies in the medical field, in the financial field, and everywhere that you can think of. And companies are putting in a lot of resources in this area.
Congratulations on the new research chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Cheryl.
That was Dr. Suresh Shah. He holds the new NSERC Matricon Suncor I-Corps Industrial Research Chair in Computer Process Control at the University of Alberta. I also spoke to Mike Brown, Mark Shaw, Dr. Nigel Lloyd, and Dr. Randy Gable. The Aztec Awards celebrate the discoveries and technological advances made by Alberta scientists. This year's gala takes place in Edmonton on November 3rd. One person who will be recognized at this year's Aztec Awards for his outstanding contributions to the Alberta science and technology community is Dr. Cyril Kay. Cyril is a pioneer in biochemistry. Now a professor emeritus from the University of Alberta, he's far from retired, giving a full-time effort to the Alberta Cancer Board and the development of a new cancer research institute.
Well, I'm naturally honored by this recognition, particularly since it sort of represents my home province. Very frequently, one is honored at a national level or an international level, much before one is honored locally or provincially, and so the powers that be that somehow decided to give me this award, I'm very much indebted to them, and I appreciate it for the work that I've been involved with in the province.
Now, you've had a very long and productive career, and some of the research that you've been involved with deals with proteins. Can you tell me about proteins and what they mean to us?
Right. Well, proteins are ubiquitous molecules. They're present in all aspects of the life of a cell. There are many, many examples that I could give you. Some of the first proteins that I began working with when I was a graduate student were blood proteins, serum albumin, for example. There are the proteins of muscle, which are involved in the contraction-relaxation cycle of muscle, the proteins that are involved in blood coagulation, the proteins that confer immunity, the so-called immunoglobulins. There are proteins that are involved in transporting ions across membranes. There are proteins that are involved in the way in which cells signal each other, the so-called cell cascade systems. So these are some examples. They are, as I said, ubiquitous, involved in all phases of the physiology of a living cell.
And what is their relationship to disease?
Well, in many cases, of course, problems in either the way in which the proteins are made or the way in which they are folded can result in disease. One example that I can give you is in the field of cancer. Probably about 50% of all cancers are due to problems in protein chemistry. For example, the misfolding of certain proteins that normally function as tumor suppressor proteins. For example, if you get, say, a single DNA strand break, this can result in uncontrolled cell division, i.e. cancer. And what happens normally is a particular tumor suppressor protein called P53 comes to the fore, and it blocks this uncontrolled cell division and causes the cells to go into programmed cell death, what is called apoptosis. Well, it turns out that if the P53 protein is misfolded due to some mutations, then it no longer is capable of exerting this important function, and you get uncontrolled cell division. So that's just one example in the cancer field.
Now, the work that you've done over the years, what have been your, I guess, contributions or discoveries in this area?
Well, a good part of my work, certainly my academic work, has been associated with a group which I helped co-found. This group was called the Medical Research Council Group in Protein Structure and Function, and it was formed in 1974. I, together with a colleague, Larry Smiley, became the first co-directors of this group, and initially we had some six investigators. And our approach to problems in protein structure and function were largely multidisciplinary in nature. Each of us had our own respective technologies that we could apply to questions of protein structure, function, and chemistry. And in many cases, we were working together in an informal sense. But as a result of the funding from the Medical Research Council, we were able to form a group of investigators, and we began to work together synergistically on common problems in protein chemistry. Three members of that particular group formed the Protein Engineering Network Center of Excellence. We were founding members in that particular network, which became the Outstanding Life Science Network. We existed for some 15 years in that capacity, and again, we interacted not just with ourselves, but with colleagues, some 50-odd colleagues across the country, with industry and government, scientists on problems in protein structure and function.
Now, you're also involved with the Cancer Board and also the new Cancer Legacy Endowment Fund. What is your work there?
Okay, I became involved with the Alberta Cancer Board in 1999. Prior to that, I had co-chaired a provincially constituted committee made up of medical scientists, but also senior administrators of major funding agencies such as the Alberta Heritage Foundation for Medical Research, and representatives, medical representatives from the regional health authorities. And we developed a health research strategy for the province to the year 2010. In terms of recent developments, the province, as you know, has endowed a $500 million Cancer Prevention Legacy Fund. And one of the criteria of that money, one of the uses of that money, is to establish a virtual Alberta Cancer Research Institute. And so much of my activity in recent times is involved in trying to set that up. The opportunity to approach the cancer problem using multidisciplinary approaches, it would enhance those areas so that we could get into it, problems in drug discovery and drug development, and I think this is very important.
Well, congratulations, Dr. Kay, on the Aztec Award, and thank you very much.
You're very welcome, Cheryl. Nice talking with you.
That was Dr. Cyril Kay, Professor Emeritus of Biochemistry at the University of Alberta and Vice President Research for the Alberta Cancer Board. He's the recipient of the 2006 Aztec Award for Outstanding Contributions to the Alberta Science and Technology Community. That brings Innovation Alberta to a close for this week. The interviews you heard during this program are posted as audio files and as written transcripts on our website at innovationalberta.com. And you can keep up to date on technology and research events by subscribing to our e-newsletter, Innovation Alberta Online. Innovation Alberta is sponsored by ICOR, the Informatics Circle of Research Excellence, Alberta Innovation and Science, Calgary Technologies, Inc., Alberta Heritage Foundation for Medical Research, Alberta Gaming Research Institute, Japan Canada Oil Sands Limited, the Sustainable Forest Management Network, Alberta Ingenuity, the University of Lethbridge, Alberta Research Council, Alberta Conservation Association, and the NSERC Industrial Chair in Integrated Landscape Management. Innovation Alberta is mixed at Riverdale Recorders and is a Porcupine Stone production. I'm Cheryl Crocher.